Look at John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, there's a difference in my being with Wayne. I'm always with Wayne most of the time, 99% of the time, and my being united to him in marriage. And this is Jesus was with God, but he not only was with God, he was God. It was God walking with God by the Spirit. And that's in John 1:1. And then it says, the Word was made flesh. You'll notice it calls Jesus the Word. That's based on 1 John 5:7, which says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say Jesus. It says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then this verse in John says, the Word, who was with the Father, was made flesh. Now, Jesus was his earthly name. It was the name of his humanity. And Joseph heard from the angel in a dream, Matthew chapter 1, and the angel said that Mary would bear a son and call his name Jesus. And then an angel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and said that she would carry the Son of God, and his name would be Jesus. So the Word that was with God and was God comes to earth as Jesus in order to save and redeem mankind. Said he was wounded for our transgressions. He came with a specific task to do. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. He came with a task to accomplish. Well, he's going to have to go to the cross and die to accomplish that task. But he came with commitment. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I know there's been something that you really would like to have had it your way. Yes? No? And you had to say to the person you were working with or living with, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus is committed to the will of the Father. He's Jesus, God, the Word, and he came to do a particular task, and it's going to require his death, and he's going to walk with his disciples for 33 years or so, in order to school them in the task that they're leaving for him. For them, they're going to have a task to do, and they're going to do it just like he did it. So they've got to watch and observe how's he doing it. And he's going to do it by the anointing. The Word is coming. Now, Jesus, Luke chapter 3, is baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist didn't think that was a good idea, but Jesus said it was. And the Holy Ghost descended, verse 22, in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The Holy Ghost came upon him, shaped like a dove. The Holy Ghost, why would God the Holy Ghost have to upon God the Word? Why? Why would God need to anoint God? That's what I'm asking you. Because he came as man. If you look at Philippians, we'll be back there. Look at Philippians chapter 4, which we explained many times because the King James is somewhat complex. And it says in chapter 2 of the King James, verse 6, talking to Jesus, who being in the form of God or being exactly like God. He was God. He was exactly like God. He wasn't just with God. He was God. That's what John 1:1 says. He was with God and he was God. But he's going to lay aside his mighty power and glory. And that's what verse says. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, he was truly God, and he didn't take anything from God in being God. But he's to accomplish the task he was sent to do and to walk under the anointing and leave that example for the disciples so that they could continue to preach the gospel message after he was gone. He's going to come as a man. It says he became obedient unto death and was found in fashion as a man. Now, here's the expression that says, he made himself of no reputation. You usually have a reputation for something you do well. Isn't that right? I mean, my daddy's father lived way out past Plum Nearly, our grandfather, and we didn't see him very much. But he had this tiny little wooden house. And his second wife, and I don't think either one of them knew too much about cooking. Well, for a long time, all they had was a wooden stove. Have you been in that house with the wooden stove? And when he found out he were coming, because he grew peanuts, he would take peanuts and he would parch them on top of that wooden stove. Well, you only got so many ways to use the top of the wooden stove. And he didn't have a dining room. And he didn't really have a kitchen, but he had a back porch. And the boys, as a gift to him, put in a sink on the back porch. Well, he wasn't too big on the sink in the back porch. He'd just soon go get it out of the yard. You see, we have to adjust. We have to know what God wants us to do. We have to walk with God according to His will, according to His plan. Now, they put him in a bathroom. He never used it. He always went to the outhouse. You understand, he was inflexible. She was inflexible. And we, I have a sister and a brother, and as young children, when we went and spent the night, the outhouse was way out past the field. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, my daddy wasn't real keen on walking us all to the outhouse. However, necessity required that. And he stored his newspapers in the tub. They put in the bathroom with a tub. He didn't ever get in it. He put his newspapers in it. I got to hear from God. I've got to follow the anointing of God. I've got to know what God is saying to me. I've got to know how to do my task, to do my job. I've got to know how the anointing falls and how I can cooperate with the anointing. Jesus, it said, made himself of no reputation. He relinquished his stand as God and became human. And he was human, but yet he was God. He was both human and he was God. And he did that in order to accomplish the great plan of salvation for you and I. And then he's going to leave us by the anointing with a task to do. He's going to leave us something to do, and we're going to have to, you know, you can't do it by bulldog tenacity. Just cross your fingers, hope for the best, and plunge forward. And that won't work. You've got to do it by the anointing. Now, have you ever tried toast without butter? It's not very good. No, not very good. Kind of like, for some people, it's like a coffee with no cream. Are you a cream person? Mm-hmm. And we give you coffee and no cream? When you have the word and no anointing, you have toast with no butter. Now, you can say the right thing, preach the right thing, teach the right thing, but without an anointing, it's flavorless. That means I went to a meeting. I don't know why I went. I think somebody insisted I go. And I went, and it wasn't that it wasn't true. The message was the truth. But it was just as dry as toast with no butter. And what was missing there was the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit bringing flavor, bringing power to what you're doing. Now, there is a different anointing for a different job. The anointing to preach is not like the anointing to teach. The anointing to teach is not like the anointing to pastor. The anointing to pastor is not like the anointing of evangelist. And you can tell when the anointing comes. Well, somebody asked me, was I going so-and-so? And I said, you know what? I don't really want to go. And they said, the smart aleck people here at Family Worship Center said, I know that the anointing's missing, isn't it? And it was. And I knew it would be. And I don't know, do I be kind and gracious, or I just say, you know, I can go home, stir up the anointing all by myself. But I think I went. Well, I wanted to go to a man that's very famous for his education of parents and children. And I had heard of him and read parts of his book, and so I was going to go. And our children were, well, Joel was driving. That's about the age they were, 16 to 20. And I said, would you take your mother? And he said he would. He was working part-time, going to school part-time. So he said, yes, he would. So we went, and it was great information. It's a little dry, because in order to do the job correctly, you've got to have the anointing. Now, here's what you should know about children that I found out that day. That's very, very important. You can tell your child, which do you want to say? Stay in the yard, or don't go to the road. Which would be correct? One of those is wrong. I'm going to let you think. Don't go in the road. Stay in the yard. Children only digest words that make a picture. You've only made two pictures, yard and road. So when you say don't go into the road, you know what they do? They go right to the road because that's the picture that you drew. If you say stay in the yard, then the picture that you drew is yard, and they're likely to stay in the yard, and you've got to say it correctly. Well, I represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the anointing gives flavor and accuracy to the message. Now, here's Jesus. He's going to be baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3. And when he's baptized, so the Spirit descended in bodily shape like a dove, and he was about 30 years of age. The reason he waited till 30 is because that was the age of maturity. You might take your older children and realize, you know, you are 30 now, you are over 30, you should be mature. That's according to the Greek and the Hebrew. It's also the age that they would anoint the high priest. So that's why he waited. More than likely, that's why he waited. Well, it said he was like a dove. The Holy Ghost came like a dove. And God anointed God. Because in Philippians chapter 2, it said, when he came as a man, and he made himself of no reputation. He laid aside, it says in one translation, his mighty power and glory. He laid aside his mighty power and glory because he's going to walk as God in human flesh. He's going to walk as God and man so that he can die and carry the sin of man and leave man that same anointing. The Holy Spirit come upon you and I and leave man that same anointing to do the job, that same flavor. I know you've talked to somebody and you're thinking, were they ever hush? Did y'all talk to them? Me too. And I'm a nice person and I go, yeah, right. And then they see you looking over their shoulder. Do you do that? That's what I do. I get bored and I think, what's happening back there? And they go, it was a message. It may have been accurate, but it wasn't anointed. No butter. It just had no butter on it. It's amazing. Now, if we leave here to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is what we're going to do, we're going to step into the anointing, and we're going to not only have the word, accurate word, but we're going to have a word that's anointed, a word that speaks, a word that flavors what we say, a word that brings power. The anointing brings power. It brings flavor. It brings accuracy. It propels the job we're doing at its highest level. Now, I know you've done a job, you did the best you could. Did y'all do that? And it was poor? We don't want to do that here, do we? Great effort, you know that? Oh, good effort. We had policemen in our neighborhood, we don't know what they were doing, flashing their lights, four cars. Well, I don't know what they were doing, but I know what I was doing. I was minding my own business. I was in the house. We were going somewhere, and we came by the police, and we thought, do you know the people around you, they want to know why you're like you are? We wanted to know why. What's happening there? First of all, we don't know who lives there because we have acreage, and we don't know our neighborhood. We want to know what's happening there. Well, what really is that? What do you think is happening there? I said, Wayne. Wayne said, did you see that? I said, yeah, what's happening there? We don't know. We don't even know their name. We don't know who they are. And they want to know why you're like you are, why you're peculiar. And if you carry the anointing is what the Holy Ghost does. You can tell a sermon that is not anointed and a sermon that is anointed. Sermon that's not anointed is like, yawn, yawn. This is what I do. Oh, brother. I wear this watch a lot because it doesn't work. It's better for your concentration. You just know you look at it if you want to. I love to collect watches. I have many watches, and this is one of the originals. And it might work if we had it worked on, but if we had it worked on, then while somebody's talking to me or preaching, I'm going, You have to carry the flavor of heaven. You have to be buttered. And you have to deal with them and offer them the butter or the cream like in your coffee, so that they'll be interested and they want to know what's wrong with her. What is she doing? Amen. What is she talking about? We were at a place and a lady said, "Are you so-and-so?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "You look like so-and-so." And I said, "Well, my name is Becky Cumby." "Oh, I know you. You're from Family Worship Center." I said, "Yes, ma'am." All she needed was a point to identify, to connect with me. And then you couldn't. She had a lot to say after that. Mm-hmm. A lot to say. I know who she knows. I know where she sits. I know why she doesn't come, because of her work schedule. I know a lot of things. And I was just going, And you know what she's doing? She's buttering. She's putting cream in the coffee. She's connecting us by the power. Now, Jesus had laid aside. He made himself of no reputation. He laid aside his mighty power and glory. That's how that translates. He laid that aside because he's going to be man, and yet he's always God. He's never not God. He is God, but he comes as man to do a job. And when he does that job, by the anointing. Now, when he's baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him, and God anointed God because he relinquished the butter of the Godhead when he came. Now, if you go over to where he was tempted, it says, and tempted of the devil for 40 days, it says Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. When did he get full of the Holy Ghost? See, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can be anointed. You can be anointed to do the job you're called to do. It said he was full of the Holy Ghost, and if he's full of the Holy Ghost for 40 days in the wilderness, all that the Holy Ghost is, the power of the Holy Ghost, is going to become visible in his answers, in his responses, in his stance, in his sureness to not tremble under the devil's ploy. And for 40 days, the power of the Holy Ghost, when did he get that power? He got it when he was baptized. Why did he need to be baptized? Why did God baptize God? Because he came to represent you. And he came in the power. And he wanted him to have the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost brings power. He brings the flavor. He brings ability. Now, there are two words in... I'm just trying not to fall over on my hip. That's it. Exousia and dunamis. Both relate to power, both very important. Now, dunamis is strength, is ability. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Now, exousia is authority. Exousia is the man that's the CEO, yeah, of the company. He doesn't have to have the strength or the ability to run to do anything. You know, there was this program on television that they planted the head of the corporation into the, you know, the workforce. They wanted him to be able to see. They disguised him. They wanted him to be able to see what his employees were doing, if they were doing their job. And so they planted him there. And this was a packaging company, and they had a conveyor belt, and the conveyor where it went down, it never stopped, and you had to take something off the shelf and load the boxes while they were moving. Well, this old man had been doing that for a long time, and he's supposed to train this man that he doesn't know is the CEO. See, there's a difference, and you have both. You have the strength and the ability, but you have the authority granted by heaven. Well, finally the old man said to the boss, he didn't know that, "You know, son, you might look for another job." Because he had the authority, but he didn't have ability. And you as a Christian have authority, you shall receive power, you have ability, and you have authority. Now, if you look, I'm going to get back to that. If you look in chapter 4, Jesus was full of the Spirit, and after 40 days, in verse 14, it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit didn't lessen it. What? He didn't have great spirit, and then he used it all, and he had less spirit. 40 days later, he had as much power as he'd ever had. He's functioning as a man of power. He's functioning with an example to me and to you that you shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you, and not only have power, but you have a place of authority. You see that? Well, he returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he goes into Nazareth to preach. Now, 4:18, which is quite, everybody knows 4:18. The Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Where did that anointing come from? It came from the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is anointed. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he's anointed. When he comes upon you, you're anointed. And when he comes upon you, you have the ability to do the job. Now, I was well taught, but I just had a... book knowledge. I came into Pentecost at age 30, and I didn't know anything except John 3:16. And so they had this thing on TV to make money for some, and all the local Polk County pastors were preaching. I just thought that would be interesting. And so we watched, and this one preached, and this one preached, and this one preached. See, I didn't know. I know that things are different, and all that all sounded alike to me until precious pastor in Lakeland got up, and he was not a preacher. He was a teacher. And suddenly it dawned on me what I had been learning, what I had heard. The difference in preaching and teaching is anointing. There's an anointing to teach. There's an anointing that explains. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm anointed to teach. Preachers just scatter seed. And you think, oh, that was wonderful, wasn't it? And yet you might not be able to repeat it. You might not know what he said. See, because there's a difference. And the evangelist has a particular anointing. Even men and women not called to the fivefold offices would have an anointing to work in the nursery. Have you ever seen me in the nursery? Well, I've been there. I went there 2 or 3 weeks, but they exited me. You know why? I'm not anointed for that. I said, I'll come if you want me to. However... I'm not very good at that. And then they wanted me. You see, when I came into Pentecost, the Lord spoke to me and said, occupy till I come. He wanted me to be doing something at all time. And you can't sit on your duff and wait for the thing you're anointed to do to happen. You've got to do something while Holy Ghost is stirring and opening the door for you. That's the truth. So they wanted a substitute in Kids Zone. They wanted... Basically, what they wanted was someone with the ministry of show up, which I'm pretty good at that. And so I grabbed Wayne on one side and Joel on the other side. And we did that. Oh, I must have done that 5 years. And I don't say that I was very good at it. But we had this lesson, I'm the bread of life. And I think it was in fifth grade. Didn't they put us in fifth grade? And nothing was going over. I just didn't know how to do it. So I went to the store and got a fresh loaf of bread, very fresh. And so while we're reading the scripture, I made bread balls and threw them. And Wayne said, you're going to make a mess. The janitors are going to hate you. I said, I'll help them. I don't care. And I said, what does that mean? I'm the bread of life. I kept throwing them with bread. And the anointing fell. First time in 5 years. I was there 5 years. Right after that, I resigned. I thought, you got anybody else to do this one? Quit while I'm ahead. And Joel, he always came and did the glitter for me. We had always had this crafty thing. And he said, Mother, why am I always on glitter duty? I said, because you're really good at it. See, he was anointed to glitter. That was the job he did well. That was how the Holy Ghost used him. Now, Wayne could have glitter. He's a good glitter person, but not me. Well, we got the vacuum. We did help clean up. We did vacuum and everything. This little girl sitting right in front of me, right about there, she said, I know what that is. And I wish I didn't write it down. The most brilliant response I've ever heard on Bread of Life. I've never heard anything before or since by adult or youth that was any better than her response. And I was like... It was because of the anointing. This is not a job to do. It's an anointing to deliver. Do you get that? It's not a job to do. It's an anointing to deliver. Well, he said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is appointed because he anointed me to preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach. So there are two things in here, preaching and healing. that was delivered by the anointing. Jesus ministering by the anointing was preaching and healing. Now, if you look over to Matthew 4, it mentions preaching, teaching, and healing. He was preaching, teaching, and healing. In John, it says Jesus had the anointing without measure. In other words, the sum total of all the anointing was found in him. Some of the anointing's in you, some's in me, some's in Pat, some, you know, everybody's anointed in a measure. You know, when you make, what do you want to make? Let's make chocolate sour cream cake. I'm just thinking about it. You know, Mother's Day's coming. And so you have to measure things out. You can't just make it all flour. You can't just make it all butter. You can't just make it all have sour cream in it. You've got to measure everything out. And God went through the body of Christ and measured things out so that you have what you need to do the job he's asked you to do. Jesus didn't have it. He had a full measure. It says he was anointed without measure, John 3:33 or 3:36, I think. So the sum total of all anointing was found in Jesus. That's why it says he was preaching, he was teaching, and he was healing. But when he sent in Matthew 10 the disciples out, when he called the disciples together, sent them out, he called his disciples, he gave them power. That is the word power is one of these two words. Somehow the King James people think we didn't need to know the difference. Anyway, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal the sicknesses and all manner of disease. Then he told them, go and preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. The anointing was going to cover all those things in the life of the disciples. They were going to be empowered. See, it doesn't matter what you undertake. You know, when you go overseas, you have to have a different electrical connection. You knew that, right? And if you don't, what happens, Brother Wayne? You blow up the hairdryer.
Fry it.
Yeah. And you've got to be connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've got to carry the power, the Holy Ghost power and the anointing that he gave you to do the job. You're not going to do all these jobs, but you're going to do some, and you're going to know what you're going to do, and you're going to pray and step in by the scripture and by prayer, step into the Spirit so that the anointing comes upon you so that you can successfully do that job. Now, Suzanne's a writer. I'm not a writer. What we do with the newsletter, I write it. And then the next day I look at it and I correct, you know, thing here and there. Then I send it to the writer. And we've been doing this over 20 years, so I'm better than I've ever been about writing. But I'm not terrific. And then she writes her article. Her article is a lot different than mine because she's a professional. And I'm an amateur. She's highly anointed. And I'm just making an effort. The newsletter, by the way, is in the mail. And if you're not on our list, you can be. Susan will take your address. It's just all the difference in the world knowing what you're doing. You get that? So I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your will for me? And then I say, I thank you for the anointing. Now, if I want to write a thank you note or an office note or we're glad you did this or thank you for blessing us with this, I'm not going to write it. If Wayne is sitting there, I will not write it. He's the best note writer on the face of the earth. And that's just the truth. And if you read my note, thank you for thee. We are so grateful. You are such a blessing. That's my note. And then you read his note and you throw mine in the garbage. You think, oh my gosh, Becky. And just throw that away. Because he's anointed for note writing. You understand that? Am I making this clear? You have to find out what God called you to do. And the Holy Ghost is going to anoint you to do that job. And you're going to expect the anointing. You're going to expect the power to come upon you so that you can do the job with greatest efficiency and accuracy. That doesn't mean you can quit praying. It means you pray more. It doesn't mean you can quit reading your Bible. It means you read it very carefully. Because when you lay the anointing on the foundation of prayer and the Word of the living God, then the task you do will surprise even you. Now, One man on television, someone asked him, he said he was a new Christian. He said, well, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And he looked right at him and he said, preach the kingdom of heaven, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Well, you can't beat that answer. It's right here. He gave it to the disciples. Do you see that? There isn't a greater joy. There's a joy in me, a warm and happy spirit. If by chance you hear it, sing with me. There isn't a greater joy than to do your job well. To know. See, sometimes I ask, did that lesson go over? Was that all right? Did they understand that? Did they make that clear? Was that, you know? The greatest joy you ever have is when you finish, you don't need to ask anybody anything. You know, I don't care what y'all thought. That was good. That was right. That was different. I want to say. And Wayne will come by and he'll say, that was terrific. I said, I knew that. So they're going through our file. We've been teaching for decades, over 40 years. And they're putting back into print some of the early teaching that we did here, there, and yon, including overseas. And it's just amazing. They want me to listen. I said, I don't want to hear myself. Forget it. I'm not listening. And so they tricked me. And I listened, and I said, you know what? That's not bad. That's pretty good. I think we got that right. I'm not bragging on myself. I know what I can do. I'm bragging on the anointing. It came. It came. It's amazing. And when the anointing comes, there's a joy in me, a warm and happy spirit. If by chance you hear it, sing with me. Now, you don't know, but you can get one of the old ones. They're posted somewhere, aren't they? Okay. Suzanne will ID you. Do what?
They're all on the website.
They're all on the website. Okay. You ain't heard nothing until you hear me teach at 100 miles an hour. Because that's how I started and that's how I taught for years. I mean, I flew. Now, I learned to be slower and more deliberate. I had to learn that people digest more if they know what you said. If you don't go zoom, 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 which is what I did. When God calls you, He equips you. And you know what that equipment is called? It's called Holy Ghost anointing. And it works in the nursery, and it works in Kids Zone, and it works in the parking lot. I'm always thrilled on Wednesday night. I see this policeman out here in his car. You see that? We didn't always have that. And I'm so thrilled with that. That somebody with anointing, somebody who stepped into the place of the Spirit and thought, you know what we need here? I don't know who's responsible for what. I don't know anything but what they asked me to do. But somebody that was anointed and connected set that up, and it's better for our children. Look at Acts 10:38. There's a Holy Ghost just hovers today. This is Peter preaching at the house of Cornelius. They went and got Peter. Cornelius shouldn't have had any gospel because he was not a Jew. They're just learning to take the gospel to the Gentiles. They don't know that yet. And so, in verse 34, he said, Peter said, I perceive the truth. God is no respecter of person. Every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted. Now this is what I want you to see. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say you know, which was published throughout Judea, Galilee, and the baptism which John preached. And here's the word that they were preaching. All those locations, this is his point. In all those places, there was one word being preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's the word. He's saying that word was preached here, and it was preached here, and it was preached here. And here's the word. How God anointed. Who anointed? God anointed. Where's the anointing come from? It comes from God. What is the anointing? It's the butter on the toast. It's what projects the message. It's the flavor of the coffee with cream. Now, you can drink your coffee without cream, but who wants? Did you want to do that?
No.
Did you hear that sermon? No cream? I think. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I don't mean that you heard it here. Don't write that in your notes that you heard it here. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Holy Ghost and power. Holy Ghost and power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and what? Power. That's anointing. He had the Holy Ghost. He had the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do the job. And went about doing good. It's talking about Jesus. How is Jesus doing good and healing? It's this what's mentioned verse. He was doing good and healing. How is he doing the right thing and healing? It tells you. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. No anointing. I mean, you may. I listened to the man that was a child expert. He was good. He said good things. I enjoyed it. But it's like running around the block. You want to go right to a drink of water, you know? That sermon needed a little water. There was no anointing on it. Truth. Yes. Anointing. See, when I step, I come not to be brilliant. I come to yield to the Holy Ghost and the anointing. And I know when I've yielded and when I could have done better. That's everybody does that. You always have a better, good, better, best, you know. Never let it rest till the good's right. Better, the better's best. Sometimes you do better than others. I don't know. He went out doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. How was God with him? By the Holy Ghost and power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing. And you can expect the strength and ability of God. Dunamis. This is where we get our word dynamite. So you can sometimes expect to explode on people. They'll recognize that. And sometimes you can expect to be just carried by the voice of authority in charge. Authority says, I'm in charge. And God offers both of those by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Ghost. It says Jesus was anointed, and that's why he was doing the works of God. He was doing it by the anointing. God anointed Jesus. God anointed God because he gave up his power in order to come to earth and die for us. You see that? Now, if we look at Acts 19, isn't that where it is? Do y'all know? And this is Paul. Verse 11, 19, God wrought special miracles. God wrought, Acts 10 says, Jesus was anointed. God wrought. Let me look at that word. Hallelujah. It said, God anointed Jesus. It said, God wrought in Paul. That's the same thing. What did he wrought in Paul? I'll tell you. Paul was a tent maker, and it says, they came from his body, brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons. That was the cloth, what he wore to work for, making tents. That was work apparel. It's not a handkerchief they put in his pocket. He may not even have a pocket. But he was anointed, and the apron is what he wore to work in, and the handkerchief is what he would wipe his brow with, some kind of cloth. And people wanted those. They coveted those. They came and asked for those. Do you know why? Because of the anointing. The anointing that was on Paul saturated and soaked into his clothes. The anointing that's in your life will affect your apparel. It will affect where you sit. And woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I may but touch his garment. She wasn't interested in touching him. She says, I can touch his garment. I will be healed. All she wanted, because in his clothes, the anointing will affect what you wear and where you sit. It will affect everything you do if you yield to it. And that's why they came. It said he wrought special. See, it was the work of God. God did the miracles. God sent the anointing to this tent maker just like he sent the anointing to his son. And if I go through the scripture and pray in the spirit and get myself in right position, God can anoint me to teach. I know when the anointing is shallow. Everybody does that. We had a fella here, highly anointed. And he had children, and his children, I heard this, they had this plot. They're going to make some money. They're going to take the tithes, and they're going to cut them up and sell them piece by piece because they're anointed. Now, it's true that man was strongly anointed. That's the truth. It was anointed. And it would be true that there's anointing in the tithe. But to sell the anointing is not right. You cannot sell what was freely given. Okay. So it said, the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits. The diseases departed. When they had a piece of the clothing or the work clothes that he was working on, that God see, anointed him. And even though he's making tents, he's anointed. He's anointed. And the clothes that he had on, just like the clothes that Jesus wore, were anointed. And all they had to do was touch the clothes. They didn't have to touch Jesus because the anointing affects everything. It affects the chair where you're sitting. It won't affect this one because this is leather. I doubt I'd work there. What'd affect this one? You see that? Huh. It's amazing. If there's no anointing, if you learn to recognize the flow of the anointing and you go somewhere, no matter what they're doing, there's no anointing, you're going to know that. First thing you're going to think is, this is so boring. First thing I do is go, oh, brother. And I elbow away and I said, how long was this supposed to be? I can't stand for you to bore me with facts. I don't like facts. I want to be anointed. I want the anointing to anoint those facts so that they can go from my head into my spirit. Now, let me tell you a couple stories. Are y'all getting that? Did I yell that good enough? Huh? When we were in Moscow, this couple came, and their son was really sick, and he couldn't come. I was teaching at a Bible school, and they came, and they brought a Kleenex. The anointing will not go in Kleenex. It won't work. It has to be cloth. And so they brought a Kleenex, and they wanted me to lay hands on the Kleenex. Of course, I don't speak Russian, so the interpreter was helping us. And they wanted me to lay hands on, anoint the Kleenex so they could take it home to their son. I appreciate their motive, but it won't work. And so I said, she had on a scarf because all Russians wear scarves. And I said, will you ask her if I can lay my hands on that scarf, and she will lay that scarf on the body of her son. And she agreed to that. And so the interpreter's here, and this couple's over here. I never had that before since. Never had it happen before since. I reached out to put my hand. They gave me the next scarf. I reached out to put my hand on it, and the anointing jumped me. Went, and they all went, I think God just wanted to prove to them they probably needed that. They didn't know much about the Bible. They weren't Bible school students. They were just there because they heard that there was somebody here that knew how to heal their son, and I did not know how to heal their son, but I know how to reach Jesus, who knows how. And my interpreter, who is a strong, strong Christian, strong, strong teacher, a wonderful interpreter, she goes, Now, right here at Family Worship Center, this lady had been on the road with her husband a long, long time. He's a preacher. And they came, and she came to, I was subbing, I think, in a prayer meeting, and they came. And we taught a few minutes and said, I would lay hands on anybody before they left, and so there was about four or five people, and I started over here, and she's over here, and I laid hands, and when I got to her, I didn't even touch her before I fell out. Me. I'm the one giving. No, I'm the one receiving. And she said, I'm sorry to do that to you, but I needed the anointing. She reached out and grabbed it. Did you know you could do that? Did you know pastor's not distributing as much as you're grabbing? And you know, sometimes what we have to do, you go to somebody and they're just not getting it. And I'll say, you stay right here and don't you go back and sit down. Don't go sit down. I'll be back in a minute. I want them to stand at the altar long enough for the anointing to penetrate them so that when I lay hands on there, because when you lay hands on somebody and they don't get it, you'll know that. It's just like you put your hands on a hot stove, you're going to know that. You're going to know, And they didn't get it. But they should have gotten it, but they didn't. Well, we're not going to give up. We're not going to throw stones or anything else. And so they have them stand there, and I come back after a while and lay hands on them again and make another effort to get the anointing in them.